What I wanted to pick up in verse chapter 9, verse 34, but the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. Remember that. Just remember that backdrop. He's even going to remember that. He's going to mention that tonight, and I'll refer back to it then. Then, verse 36, he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. So, skip down to verse 5. Well, verse 1, he called them the 12. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now it names them. We'll skip that. We covered that last week. Verse 12, verse 5, I mean, that these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not unto the way of the Gentiles or into any city the Samaritans enter ye not. Now, if you were reading that cursory, quick glance, you'd say, well, Jesus doesn't care about Gentiles or Samaritans. Well, that, we know that's absurd on the face of it. But the reason that is, somebody would say, and you'd say, oh, I don't know. Well, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. He says, this is where I want the gospel to go, Jerusalem, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. I got a plan. Do it this way. You know, you can look at the life of Paul. I wanted to go here, and the Spirit said no. Then I saw a man over in Macedonia, during my dream, come to us, and so we went over that way. God's always running. He's got a plan. He's got a way to do something. So Paul goes into a city. What does he do? He goes to the synagogue because that's the plan. He's sticking to the plan. It's still the plan. Now, is that incumbent upon us Gentiles of Fairfield, Maine, here in Kennebec Valley? We got to, first we got to make sure everyone around here hears the gospel, and then, we can, I think there's something to that. You know what I mean? Let's just, take care of orphanages in the Ukraine, which is fine. I'm not suggesting we don't or shouldn't, but you got to kind of take care of the home base first. Build a unit in which we can send people, so I still think it's incumbent upon us, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. See, he does care about Samaritans, and then to the uttermost ends of the world, and he does care about Gentiles. Prima facie evidence, you. Okay. Don't go to the Gentiles, don't go into the city of Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. I wonder how many dead people got raised during that ministry. Who knows, right? Cast out devils, freely have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse, neither scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. I want you to, carry a suitcase, you should be loaded down with so much goods. No, travel light. It's only a question. I don't want you coming back to me dragging a bag of money, that you can't even lift on your shoulder. It was so heavy. Oh, people wanted to give. No, it's not about that. If you get enough to eat, great, tremendous. If you freely give and freely receive, you shouldn't need money or bartering or anything like that. And the workman is worthy of his hire. Here he says the workman is worthy of his meat, food. Okay, and that's the thing. God, who cares about ravens, will take care of you. God, who cares about sparrows, and they all have enough to eat, don't worry about it, he'll take care of you. Into whatsoever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. If the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. Whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust off your feet. They would get it. when they were in Samaria and they came back into the promised land, they'd shake the dust off their feet. And it wasn't a testimony, like, I hate you. It was like, your nasty Gentile dust doesn't belong in the precious Holy Land. I wonder if you saw a Jewish person doing that, what your reaction would be. I don't think it would bless you. And now Jesus is saying, turn the tables on them. See how they like it. Paying back in kind. Verily I say unto you, verse 15, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment for that city. Obviously he's speaking hyperbolically. Right? I have no reason to think that's so. I think he's saying, you know, it's not going to be a simple raining of fire and brimstone. It's going to be very bad. You're judged by the amount of light that you had that you rejected. I'm talking about, you know, he talked about few stripes and many stripes as far as judgment was concerned. I think you're responsible for what you know. I'm just talking about, so now you're all nerved up. Ooh, I know a lot. I better get on the ball. Well, that's a different judgment. It's not going to be worse for you than Sodom and Gomorrah, okay? Remember, at the end of 1 Corinthians 3, judgment, the bema seat of Christ, people are saved. You're all saved. Everyone's saved. You may not have a lot of rewards. Hopefully you do. But you're still saved. And he says, and you yourselves shall be saved, yet as by fire. And that's what he means, saved, in the sense that we would think about it. Now here's, I think we're as far as we got. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Wow, I'm not really excited about that. Now they're more wolf than ever. Their wolfliness is tolerated. At a time when I was growing up, it used to not be so much. As people were never, America was never a friend to grace. The world has never been a friend to grace. But they were tolerant and respectful because it was the culture. But those, all bets are off. Nobody cares anymore that it's the culture. They're more wolfly than ever. And the only thing that's stopping abject persecution in America is we have this thing called the Constitution. And I think as soon as they are able to gut that and this freedom of religion in India, and then they have anti-conversion laws. And if you've been following in Voice of the Martyrs, it is dreadful in India where they have freedom of religion. It's absolutely, positively, you have freedom to be a Christian, but you better not have been converted by anybody because that person's going to jail. And they will make up a lot of stuff, and they have judges that just, they don't have a constitution, and it shows. Now, is the Constitution what we need, or is God what we need? We need God, okay? But God gave us a Constitution. He gave the founders, I think, enough sense to do the right thing as far as that was concerned. Again, I've taken an oath, any member of the military, whoever was in the military, and every person in any elected office, from, you know, I think state senators, state legislators, I'm sure national Congress people, senators, I'm sure they take that oath of office to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. What I have found out is that most of our, the greater number of our enemies are domestic. There are people who want to take all the, look, they took away our freedom of speech when COVID happened. They just did. There were some things you just could not say. There are still some things you cannot say, or you would get thrown out of school. Somebody was talking about Title IX in Comus. Yeah, you saw it on Facebook or something, and we had hysterical people shouting at each other. What do you mean? I go to school, I lost my freedom of speech? And I don't think they would say anything disrespectful. Which, by the way, freedom of speech, you can be absolutely disrespectful. I'm not encouraging that. But freedom of speech means I don't have to like what you're saying. You're free to say even things against God here in America. We don't have any anti-blasphemy laws. I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. You know that. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I think we got that wrong. I think we're about as... I've seen people in the church very trusting, very loving, very just sweet and trusting everybody. As wise as serpents, about as wise as doves. And then they can be harmful as serpents. I've seen that. I've seen a lot of, but so have you. I can bring out and talk about, hey, I know this guy but you know this guy, and you know that person, and you know all the stories. That said, God wants us to be, we're in enemy territory, and we have to be circumspect, is the word that Paul uses. Inspect circularly. Check it out. Scope it out. Know stuff. Don't be trusting. Don't be... So you have to be cynical? You have to be wise. That's the word. That's the watchword. Wise. But harmless. But beware of men. What else should you beware of? That's the problem, men. And I would say mankind there, okay? Not that women are less bad. I'm just saying, you know what I mean? I'm not trying to put... Beware of people. They'll deliver you up. And in his day, it was definitely men, okay? You ever remember like a bunch of women getting together and dragging Paul off to the... No, no. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils and will scourge you in their synagogues. Now, synagogues is not something we have to worry about. This is written to the 12 and, by extension, to the Jewish people who will become Christian. But it doesn't mean we don't have a lesson here, okay? Let's just skip all the Jewish parts. No, you shall be brought, they will scourge you in... Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils. You shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. That happens every day of the week, all over the world. And again, I say, listen to the voice of the martyrs. It's well worth listening to. And when they deliver you, not if, it's only a question of when. You gotta remember, there's 12 apostles. One of them committed suicide, so he was replaced. And of those 12, all of them were persecuted, 11 of them to death. The only one who died of natural causes, as far as we know, is John. When they deliver you up, when they deliver you, again, are you going to be delivered? Are you going to be persecuted to the point of bloodshed? I don't know. I think we're only one election away. That's the way I felt. I listened to something today, and I felt worse than... I kind of wish I hadn't listened to it. It was Dr. Ed Heinzen, who I love. That's not... But he was talking about... And it wasn't Barna, but it was another one of these natural, like Rasmussen pollsters, but it wasn't Rasmussen. It was... the most famous one that I can't come up with right now. Huh? No, that's another one, though. It's the one that everyone knows. Everyone's heard of. But anyway, that my mind just drew a blank on. But he said, like, more Americans are sympathetic towards the Palestinian plight than the Israeli plight. And it was not even close. I don't want to quote the numbers, but it was like 19%. Of America's pro-Israel, and like 70-something percent was pro-Palestinian. And I thought, like, you know, in the midterms coming up, you'd be pro-Palestinian and running for office, that's going to get you diselected. No, it won't. And I thought, like, okay, it's it. That's it. That's it. He says, those numbers won't turn around. I thought, like, no, they won't either. Because now, you know, Israel's winning the war that they're waging on Iran. And, of course, people like the underdog. And, oh, look at those poor Iranians. And then there are people who are, because they have TDS, are coming out. Someone said if the president cured cancer, there's one group of people who would be pro-cancer. And the more I see with my own eyes day to day, the more I think that's true. All this to say, I think that America's greatness is because I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. Now, it's not a question of how many people in mainstream America, but it's the leadership, and the leadership will get the whole nation judged. Well, right now, we're in a good position for how much longer? If the midterms go the wrong way, that war, it's not going to get funded. You know what I mean? So there's, I shudder to think. Anyway, he was very excited because he thought the rapture was very close because America would never not help Israel. And Israel, we know, the end times is going to stand all by, you know, the cheese stands alone scenario. So he was happy. He thought the rapture was close. And I thought, no, the elections are close. And I don't think America has to be raptured for us to be a third-rate entity. I think we just have to have a couple of bad elections in a row, and maybe only one. Elections have consequences. Now you feel better? You come here, you feel good? But I've been praying, but I want to tell you, it's hard on me. One of the most heartbreaking prayers for me is praying for America. I don't worry about Israel. The God who's looking after Israel neither slumbers or sleeps. Who's looking after America? Well, we're the good guys, so God's on our team. You may want to recalibrate, okay? And I've said, I know what's going on. I have said for a long, long season, we are the chief exporters of every single thing that God hates. We mutilate children, do surgery on them, give them toxic drugs that they'll never recover from for some sort of political make-believe. We have pornography. We have child sex trafficking. We have sex trafficking, if that isn't bad enough. Slavery. And God, we expect him just to keep on winking at that? How many people, we know, we get the Epstein files. How many people are running around in orange jumpsuits waiting to go to jail now because of that? Let me see, last count, zero. And what do you think? God doesn't like justice? God's okay with us playing around with stuff like that? I'm telling you, it's worrisome. It's concerning if you love America. Anyway, but they're going to bring us before kings and governors before too long. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. Now, does that work while you're witnessing? It doesn't say so, does it? But I have known that sometimes I came up with some stuff that, oh my goodness, I didn't even know that was there. Because God will give you what you need to know when you need to know. So I tell you, people come up with a question, and I love questions, not at all. Because if they're struggling with it, it makes me think I won't struggle with it. So I pray, and sometimes come up with real good answers. Why? Because God, he don't want to, when you're in a situation like this, you know how you do? You're going to have an argument with your spouse. Not any of you would ever do that. Other people, okay? But just imagine, you got this, and that, well, you know what, they'll say this, but then I'll come right back with this. I got the whole thing planned out. She can't win, no way, no how. And then I say something, then she says, and she scores the immediately touche, and I'm just like, oh, man, I didn't think of that one. And so I get all this planned stuff, and I have these conversations planned out in my head a lot of times. I really do. Don't do it with this. I'll tell you what you need to know. You don't have to plan it out. I would never let an opportunity like that slide by. Can I give you an example? Stephen. Did he have that all, that sermon? Incredible. Incredible. Did he have that all, like, penciled in? Wait a second. I got something to say to you. He takes out a little. And our father Abraham, when he was in, I think the Holy Spirit of God gave him that right there, right then. When you're in that situation, persecuted. Now, I think persecution, just general harassment, persecution. You don't have to be arrested. You don't have to be, you know, being fingerprinted, mugshots and stuff. You just, people persecute. When they deliver you up, take no thought of how what you shall speak. It shall be given you in the same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. That's an incredible promise. I almost want to get persecuted. Just what's that work? I've seen it. Like I say, I've even seen it when I'm sharing with somebody who's not, or somebody has a question, or sometimes God in me, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, wants to reach somebody, wants to say something to somebody, and all he's got to work with is me. Well, he's in a world of hurt then, unless he supernaturally. See, I'm not saying don't study. I'm not saying don't know Scripture. Because I've come up with stuff that I didn't know that I knew, but I guess I knew it when I needed to know it. He'll do that. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death. And the father, the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Wow, I've got four brothers. I've never charged them with that. None of them are born again, and it's always a bone of contention with them. But I'll give them their props. Nobody's ever tried to have me arrested or anything of this nature. I'm tolerated. I'll say that. I'll give them that much. Okay, but this happens, and it happens all over the world. Jesus is the divider of families. He says in another place, you think I've come to, make everyone happy and, he says it in verse 34, so we'll take it up then. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Endureth is just persists, okay? Hang in there. What are we reading about Hebrews? I know it's the going's kind of tough there, Paul's saying. I know. I'm feeling you. I'm Jewish too. I have family too. But there's no turning back. It's just not an option. You're going to be hated. I almost think like you got to tell somebody that right off the bat. If you don't worry. They'll figure it out early on. There's a lot of people who just virtue of the fact that we're Christians, that's enough to get them. And when they persecute you in this city, flee into another. Okay, running away is good. Running away is good sometimes. Sometimes you stand, sometimes you run. Which one do you do which? Let God determine that. Sometimes you have to stand, sometimes you have to flee. He's talking about this mission that he's got for them, the 12. When they persecute you in this city, flee ye to another. Verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man become. Did they get all them, all the Israel cities done? No. I don't think they still have, but that's a story for another time. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. We get that. We get that. We're not going to out Savior, out Messiah, Jesus Christ, right? We're never going to be greater or better than he is. You almost think, that goes without saying, Jesus. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. Okay, I hear you. So what's the point? This, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Wow, Jesus, why don't you let that alone? So they were having a bad hair day and they called you a name or something like that. Just let it go. Water off a duck's back, right? No, it's not that he has hurt feelings. He's pointing out something. This is their official doctrine. This is what they came up with. This is their... They couldn't deny all the miracles. There's dead people who are walking around now. There's lepers who are cleansed. And they're back with their families. There's people who had never seen, who are seeing now. So what do they do? Oh, yeah, he's doing that by the power of Beelzebub. He's saying, listen, what's going to happen now? They've hated me, they're going to hate you. They've persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. They call me demonic. What are they going to call you? And it's just, it shouldn't surprise us. It just shouldn't. We get hurt feelings. We want to be loved. We want to be, because we're lovable and we love people and we think they will return that in kind, but they don't. So we're gracious and loving and considerate, and then people clot up and rain all over us. And we're like, what was that all about? They hate Jesus. They can't get at him. That's all. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, hid that shall not be known. Listen, don't worry about them. It's all going to come out in the wash. Everything is going to come out. They're not getting away with anything. There is no hidden at the end of the day. What I tell you in darkness, does Jesus talk in darkness? No, he's talking by a campfire. He's talking to them like man to man, secretively, not publicly is the idea. But those things that I'm telling you, that speak ye in light at daytime. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Because it's all going to come out. It's all going to be shown that you're right. I was watching a YouTube video on evolution and how they play the game when they have this, weird, this one was on junk DNA, okay? There's no junk DNA. There never was. And they used to laugh at us creationists. How come your God makes, you know, most of all the DNA we have is junk? That's what they call it. And now their science is catching up and they're thinking, okay, we got to walk that back. And now there's no junk DNA, and then we're attributing that to evolution. Okay, because evolution is just a wonderful plan that it doesn't have any junk in it. And they used to talk about vestal organs that we had back along that we don't need anymore, like the appendix, like a tailbone. Now, if you go to medical school now and talk about vestal, or whatever it is, organs, they will laugh you out of school because now science is caught up with there's no such thing. Everything we have is just because we didn't know what it was for doesn't mean it was extra, okay? And maybe you can live without it, but there's a reason why you have it. They don't just like say, hey, because you can, they can take your gallbladder out. It's not like it's elective surgery. Hey, can you remove my perfectly healthy gallbladder? Sure, you don't need that anyway. They never do that, okay? So they were talking about how junk DNA proves evolution when it used to prove, junk DNA used to prove evolution, but now there's no junk DNA, now that proves evolution. It's just, they're going to cook the books no matter what you do, and they're never going to walk it back. And then why do they, it's so stupid, a theory, why do they cling to it? Because it's the best they got. They don't have anything else. We're all laughing, we all know it's ridiculous. Why do they keep doing it? What do they have? So, it's all going to come out. And I'm going to try to be not so smug, but I can't trust myself. I will be so smug. I will get everybody who I've ever argued with about to say, now what are you going to say? Huh? 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 I'm going to be so I told you so. It's all coming out. Everything's coming out. It's all going to be, you'll be, listen, oh, you're one of those, it must be nice to have a crutch to lean on. You know, you can't make it by yourself, so you have this imaginary God who you, when it all comes out, you say, now what are you talking about now? You ain't talking smack. You ain't talking so tough now, are you? It's all coming out. Know that the darkness is going to be made light. What you're saying, proclaim it from the housetops. Fear not them. You're going to be proven right. When? Oh, the kingdom. The judgment leading up to it. And until that time, you may be proved right like one person at a time. That's the way it is. Fear not them which kill the body. Now killing the body is kind of problematic to me. We walk around, we look, and we're kind of, that guy, is he going to cause trouble? What? I grew up in Boston. And the reason I grew up is because you are circumspect. You're always looking around. You're always plotting. You're always planning. Okay, if these guys coming down the street cause trouble, where am I going? What am I going to do? It was hard for me when I moved here not to think in those terms. Like, Dad adjusted real quick. He left the keys in the car. Like, the doors weren't locked. It's Maine. Relax, you know. Of course, we don't do that anymore. Why? Because Maine's starting to catch up with the rest of the country. Fear not them which kill the body. That's kind of a problem, isn't it? Killing the body. I mean, I don't want that. You don't want that. Look, I've got to think about it like this. I don't want to be murdered for no reason, for my wallet. That stupid reason to die, the guy wanted my money. But it happens, okay? But he's talking in persecution. The worst they can do is kill you, is what he's saying. Now, I've told you before, I'm not afraid to die. I am so not afraid to die. The events leading up to it, I mean, I've got my own methods. You know, I want to die of old age. Choice one, rapturitis, okay? That's where I want to go. If not, if I have to spend the rest of my life here and be raptured, the dead in Christ rise first part of the rapture, then I'd like to go full of old days and, you know, have my grandkids on my knee and plenty, very, very old. And one night I go to sleep and say, Lord, I'm just tired. Why don't you come send an angel for me? And he does, and I go up to heaven. That's my second preferred, okay? I don't want to be eaten by a shark. Have you thought about that? That would be kind of gruesome. You can't really outswim them or fight them. They say when a shark comes, punch it in the nose. Yeah, it's great white, and it's like nose is way up there. You know, it's like, yeah, this ain't going to be pleasant, right? Don't want to get electrocuted. I used to think of that. Don't want to die in a fire. There's a lot of ways I don't want to die. The pain leading up to death. I'm not afraid to die, but I don't want to, I'm kind of a milquetoast when it comes to, I'm not a tough guy when it comes to pain. I'm really not. I just want to go to sleep and not wake up. Long time from now, right? And I want to be healthy right up until the point where I'm not alive anymore. Fear not them which kill the body, because they're not able to kill the soul. That's the whole key. The worst they can do is the worst they can do. How do we not have fear of men? How do we have, if we have fear of men issues, that's not good, especially if you're proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, people come in here and they're intimidating and they let me know how much they feel about something, and I just back right down because I have no spine and I'm still waiting for a spine donor, right? You gotta stick to your guns. And the way that you do that is you fear God the right way so that you don't fear people. And realize that all they can do is kill you. That's not hell. That's just Oh, you're going to send me home to be with Jesus? Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father? Yeah, but people still get killed, though. The point Matthew's making is God takes care of sparrows. What happened to Stephen? Was that while God was taking a nap? He cares about sparrows, but he doesn't care about his martyrs. He does. Jesus is standing at the right hand of the Father. He sits at the right hand of the Father. Why is he standing? I think to receive Stephen home. He wasn't indifferent. He just allowed that to happen. And sometimes he does. Why? It glorifies him. Now, we don't think much about this because, again, we live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. We got a constitution. People generally don't stone us to death and things like this. It may or may not change. I don't know that. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. I wouldn't let one of them fall to the ground. How many hairs do you have on your head? Average. 140,000. You didn't know that, did you? Did you care? I got 143,000. I've got a full head of hair. It's beautiful. I go out, then I go like this. Now I have 142,972 because it's a little windy, you know what I mean? Whatever. You know what I mean? He knows how many hairs you have on your head, but he has them numbered. Like if I just lost like three hairs going outside and running my fingers through my hair and three hairs blow away in the wind, he knows which three they were, what number they were. Is that impress you? It impresses me. But not that he knows that. I mean, he's God. Of course he'd know that. Right? But he cares, and I don't. I only know because I was listening to Joe Foch today, and Joe Foch says the average human head has 140,000 hairs. So I was thinking, oh, okay, I'll remember that. Do I care? Not tomorrow, I won't. Really, you know what I mean? Who cares? God does. You think I'm going to let something happen to you that out of my control? So if it's happening to us, if our friends have turned against us, if our family won't talk to us anymore, if we're rejected from certain groups, it's not that God's indifferent. It's that's the way he wants it. And people still have free will. Do you want God to overrule their free will but leave your free will intact? He lets people do a lot. But he knows how to protect. You remember in Acts where James is beheaded and Peter's in prison and it's Passover, the time that Jesus was crucified, and they're going to, and he's in a prison thinking, okay, this is it. He told me I was going. No, it's not time yet, Pete. The angel comes and his chains fall off. The doors open up. Smote him on the side. Come on, get dressed. Let's go. So he gets all dressed and he walks out of the place and the city gates open of their own accord. And he walks out and then the angel leaves him. And he perceives that it was an angel. I think, okay, Pete, pretty good thinking. It's not time. I know how many hairs you got in your head. I'm the God of sparrows. I feed them. I take care of them. A cat got one. Well, I love cats too. I mean, I don't understand everything. I really don't. Why things happen a lot of times. But I know that God's in control. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, you should think that through. What is the implication there? He knows about you more than you know about you. He cares about you more than you care about you. Because a lot of our determination is self-preservation. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. Why? Because that's what I want to do. Well, I love you, he's saying, and I love you so much. I've got this wonderful plan for your life. Well, it's not your plan, it's mine, but my way's better. One, I'm smarter. Two, I love you more than you love you. Have I told you before? We make determinations that don't further our cause. Sin, for instance. Why would we do that? Because we're dumb. We don't trust God like we should. That's why. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more of more value than many sparrows. January is the sanctity of human life month, not the sanctity of life. I think animals are lovely, wonderful. A friend of mine just lost a good pet, and he was really tore up, like you would be. You people have had dogs and stuff, and you have a dear dog, and he's a member of the family. I know they're not children, and people who treat them like children are ridiculous people. That said, they work their way into your heart. A dog loves you unreservedly, and they're so loyal and so faithful, and then you lose one, and it's like, and you're really tore up. I know. You are not a dog or a cat or many sparrows or a peregrine falcon. It's funny to me that people have such a high value on saving whales or baby seals or not that any animal should be hunted to extinction or anything like that. We should be good stewards of the planet. But this guy out there, you know, on Thanksgiving, you should eat tofurkey and not actual kill a bird. I'm just thinking, you're just ridiculous. God gave us animals to benefit us in a lot of ways, not just for food. You know, you don't eat a dog. You really, really shouldn't. I'm just saying. But dogs have been man's friend for a long, long time. They've helped, you know, herd sheep and do a lot of things, you know, more than just, you know, pet kind of stuff. Some people are really not very cognizant of this. God is. You're worth more than, he knows. The creator, the one who created animals and created you says, no, you're of infinite more value. Why? They got life, we got life. I think they have a soul. I don't think they have an eternal soul. I don't think all dogs go to heaven. I don't. Okay? If people hate dogs, that would be not heaven for them, right? I think they have a personality, is what I'm thinking. There's a soulishness about them. Does God love animals? I think, you remember he says, a good man careth if his beast is hungry? He wants us to be kind to our pets and things like that. He doesn't want abuse or cruelty. He's not that kind of God. Then, on the other end of it, some people don't get it, but only people are made in the image of God. No ostrich was ever made in the image of God. And ostriches are fine. The fact that God made them is fine. They're just not in God's image. I say that because this is going to be on the radio and I don't want people all muddied about it or all weird about it. And whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Remember, they're going out. It's going to get pretty bad. Don't worry, I'm going to judge them. It's going to be worse than Sodom and Gomorrah for them. Men are going to try to kill you. You're going to try to do this. Going to try to do this. Don't you punk out. Don't do it. We can do that without even threat of death, just the threat of being laughed at. Don't do it. Whoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. One time and you're done, right? I'm not saying that. Don't let that be the manner of your life. Peter famously did it three times, not just once, and was restored. And is Peter in glory now? Yes. It's not one and done. It's not like that. Having said that, don't do it. Oh, you're going to regret it so much. Will God forgive you? Of course he will. Of course he will. But don't do it. It's just one of those things that's really hard to come back from. I didn't deny Christ, but I didn't say what I should have when I should have said it. I let people assume maybe or something like that. Don't do that either. Say what needs to be said, who it needs to be said to, and let chips fall where they may, and let God take care of it. Don't deny him. Him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. The person, I don't know God. Whatever. I don't know God. Yeah. When you stand before him, you're going to be singing a different tune. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. This is what I was referring to earlier. I come not to send peace, but a sword. Well, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Wait a second. Not this go around. Not this go around. Are you going to be persecuted in the kingdom? No. No. One, you're going to be immortal. You'll have your resurrected body. Let them persecute you. What are they going to do? Ring your doorbell and run? They got nothing, right? But right now is a time of persecution. And I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. In all cases, no, but he's trying to say this, a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Don't be surprised. Was it that way with me? And to one degree or another, it was. I know some of you have gone through some of the same things and are going through the same things. But, you know, I love my mom and I love my dad, and they brought me up a certain way, and it's hard for me to turn my back on the faith that they try to give me. Well, welcome to my life. So what am I supposed to do, be an apostate? There's simply no going back. There's no plan B. You talk about loving mom. I was a devoted son as ever. I like to think so. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Ouch! I'm not playing around on this, he says. I'm serious. So we're supposed to hate our mom. No, just not supposed to love her more than Jesus. Now, he's the one who said, honor your mother and your father. Okay? So it's not a question of hate. It is by comparison. It's a fondness that melts in comparison. Every relationship does. Even the relationship of a spouse, your best friend, your children. I know, right? It's hard. It's hard. But I love the Lord more than I love my kids, more than I love my son who's saved, more than I love my son who's not saved. It don't matter. I love the Lord more. I love the Lord more than Suze. Suze is really happy about that. If I loved him less, my marriage would be in bad shape. I'm sure. Not every marriage isn't in bad shape. People don't love the Lord. People have learned to do things a certain way to make their spouse happy, and that's good. That's fine. I'm not suggesting they shouldn't. I'm suggesting that the Lord's got to be number one relationship in your life. Suze loves the Lord way more than she loves me. I'm so happy about that. Jealous? Oh, that's ridiculous. I want her to love her God above all. Then she has a good chance of being a very good wife. If she's not loving, serving the Lord, that would be not a happy time in my household. Am I nerved up about it? I'm not, because she gets this verse. You know what I mean? He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Wow, hard words. Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. Well, he's saying, look, it costs to be a disciple. Don't back down when they drag you to synagogues or councils or in front of governors or kings. Don't back down. Don't deny me. Don't fear those who only can kill you. That's all they can do. Don't think your personal relationships are more important than your relationship with me. You're thinking, wow, he's really out there. He demands a lot. Oh, yes. I'm not going to even soften up these words at all. Now, you know, sometimes something sounds really harsh, and it's because it's in the King James, and it's and I have to explain it and give it such a twist that you can live with it. No, I'm not. I can't soften any of this. This means what it means. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Is that hard words? What is taking up a cross? It's an instrument of torture. What are we taking up? Death to self. And we have to understand that. If we have our own agenda, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and God, and we say, well, what about God? Well, if he wants me, he knows where I am. He sends an angel to me. He can. Does that sound like a cross? Is that like carrying a cross? No, it's all about me. The whole world revolves around me. Don't you get that? It should. And if you people don't understand that, well, figure it out. It's all about me. No, it's all about the Lord. And the sooner we understand that, the happier we're going to be. Show me somebody who's super miserable. I'll show somebody who's trying to live for themselves. It never works out. The thing that you think you need, that you want, and you finally get it, it's just like gravel in your mouth. It's just like, I wanted this so bad, now I got it. Because it's not what God has for you. You've had joy unspeakable. Because that's when you and God are at the same purpose, and he blesses you in a way that only he can. He that taketh not his cross and followeth me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Not physical life, soul life. You try and live for yourself, that's losing your life. I feel like I'm losing it. You probably are. Go ahead and give it up. You'll find it in Christ. I always say that to people. You know, suicide. Right? You done with your life? I know somebody can use it. It's like, you know, we're eating in the same restaurant across from each other, right? And you don't like onions. So you take them off your salad and put them on. I say, you done with those onions? I will do that. I will definitely say that. If you're eating with me and you don't eat onions, I will definitely do that. I've done that. Much to the chagrin of other people who I might be eating with. I know she's over there saying, oh, okay, he does. He actually does that. I say, you done with those onions? You say, no, I'm going to throw them out. Who does that? Onion. We're talking about onions, right? They're just onions. If you threw them out, it wouldn't be the end of the world. If you kill yourself, it kind of would be the end of the world. Your end, your world. Oh, you done with your life? I know somebody who can bless it and use it, and he would love to have it. You're done with it, right? They just want the pain to stop. Oh, I know somebody who can take the pain away. And I'm not talking about physical pain. I'm talking about the loneliness, the exasperation. We've had our fill of life, and it's not fulfilling. It's nothing. We thought we wanted to do all, and we've done all these things, and they've never fulfilled. They've never satisfied. And now we're jaded, and we're all cynical, and we're all like, I'm done with this. Oh, I hope you are. That's the one. You know, you're halfway there. Oh, you want to find your life, you want to live for yourself? I was watching that Cosby show back, and the teenage daughter had a boyfriend. He's like, well, after high school, I'm going to take a few years off and find myself. And so Bill Cosby character says, how long is that going to take? Well, I don't know, 5 years or so. 5 years, you ought to be able to find yourself and four or five other people, he says. Finding yourself is a hideous thing. What are you looking for? That's a ridiculous thing to look for. And we will find ourselves in Christ. Remember the stone, the white stone that he gives us with our name on it? That's who we are. You know what is nightmarish to me? Never finding out. Hell's bad. Don't want to go there. Never finding out what this was all about, what my purpose was. No, that's untenable. I can't have that. No, this is what you're all about, Adam. This is where you hit it out of the park, and this is where, well, you need a little work, son. I get that, but I want to know. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. You know how some people, first time you meet them, they're your friend for life. Why? Because they're in Christ. I have always been amazed at some of the good friends I have who I have nothing in common with other than Jesus Christ. And it's enough. It's enough. They don't have the same interests I have, the same likes, they're not like me in any way, and we're really good friends. Why? Because they're blood, they're family. I don't know how to say it. But he's not talking about it. He's talking about sending out 12. He that receiveth you receiveth me. That's why when they don't receive you, it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah, literally. He that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me, God, Father God. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. So Jeremiah was telling you all this stuff, and you listened to him. Great. You received him. You get a reward for that, a prophet's reward. What is that? I have no idea. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Don't ask, because I don't know. The point is, I'm keeping really accurate records. I'm keeping score all the time. The wood, hay, and stubble stuff, the gold, the silver, the precious stones, I really am keeping score, he says. I really know what your life was about. Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of his disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So they're going to go, you're going to go to these different places, and they're going to bring you in, listen to your message. They're going to give you a fair hearing. I know how to reward that. Does that mean heaven? I don't know. I don't, this is, it implies a lot, but I don't want to build mountains of doctrine on I suppose. I want to tell you, though, God keeps accurate records. Can we at least agree on that? And it's kind of important that we know at least that. Okay, next week, chapter 11. This is when he starts in with, we'll see it next week. He's going to talk about John the Baptist, and that's going to take up a lot of the chapter. But it's really important that we know that.